just one verse, again, 1 Timothy, and we're going to continue on talking about fables. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now, what I was talking about last week, and I'm going to continue on this week, is the fable, basically, God overlooks sin, or sins. And I think I'm going to go ahead and read this verse from this song again, just so y'all can suffer with me. This song came out over 20 years ago, but like I said, it's amazing what you don't forget, even when you want to. But I'm good with songs. I always have been. But sometimes, in this case, I kind of wish I wasn't. The verse goes, and actually it's the chorus of the song, I guess the reason that he loves me, he don't see me with his eyes. No, his eyes don't see at all. He looks beyond what I have done, and yet he sees the sparrow fall. That's deep now. He sees what I can be, and his grace to me imparts. He don't see me with his eyes. He sees me with his heart. Ain't that just the sweetest thing you ever heard in your life? And I still hate this song. But as that fellow I was watching, I turned off Bill Parker and turned on John Wayne. I did listen to Bill Parker all the way through. I don't mean that way. Because I turned the television on this morning. It was on Channel 64, which is AMC. The Searchers was coming on, but it was time for Bill Parker, so I turned it on. And I listened to Bill Parker, and I went back to John Wayne. And it's The Searchers, which has got one of the best lines that any movie ever was. They're on one side of the river, behind barricades. On the other side of the river, there's 100 Indians getting ready to come across the river at them. There's, you know, John Wayne and Ward Bond and I don't know who all else, but it's the usual gang. Ward Bond's the preacher with his pistol. And the other fella, he's there for comic relief, is behind the barricade, and as the Indians start to come across, he says, Lord, for what we are about to receive, we thank you. And it's one of the things, you know, was most intelligent remark made all day. And then the preacher gets mad because his gun runs out of bullets and John Wayne loans him one. They don't have preachers like that on TV no more. God does not overlook sin. God does not overlook sins. Sin is what we are. It's the nature we have. Sins is what we do, what we think, what comes out. God is holy, holy, holy. God is love, but God is just. God has declared sin has to be, shall be, punished. And this is what these people who wrote this song, whoever it was, miss. Sin's got to be punished. The punishment is death. And I ended this last week, was talking about the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And I made a statement to where that statement there, the soul that sinneth shall surely die, has got to be factored in to every other piece of theology that's in this book. Because that piece, the soul that sinneth shall die, is in this book. And it's still true. It will always be true. Just like what Walter said last week. Factor this in, everything you think about. Our God's in the heaven. He's done whatsoever he has pleased. That's in the book. And no matter what else you say, that needs to still be true. And the soul that sinneth is going to die. Somebody has to die. Who's going to die? It says whoever sins. There's your whosoever will. Whosoever sins will die. The word of the Lord has been spoken. He'll bring it to pass. It's not gone out of his mouth void or null in any way. It's going to happen. When most religious people state God forgives sins, what they mean is God will let you off the hook.
Right. That's what they mean.
And I know this because I've heard them teach it. Mm-hmm. They won't say it that way. But they do have ways of saying it. And this song is one way they get around it. Now, I do remember hearing a tape years ago from Henry Mahan stating that God doesn't forgive sins. And then he went on. And I actually repeated that from up here, and Earl told me later that he was the one that actually said that at Henry's church. That's where Henry got it from. Because people have this idea, they don't understand, well, God forgives sins. It's forgiveness. It's not like you and me forgive somebody. God forgives sins because somebody else paid for them. The death had happened. The penalty had been paid. Therefore, God forgives his people. Sin must be punished. He's going to bring it to pass. And sins being punished means death. Walter, if I only had a daysman. If I only had an intermediary. A substitute. A redeemer. Then he could be punished in my stead and pay this price. What? Jesus Christ, what'd he do? He died for his people. He was forsaken by God in the place of his chosen people because he became sin for his chosen people. He has paid the punishment of death. Am I sure? He ended up on that cross saying it's finished. It is finished. And I think we can take his word for it. Even though 95%, 99% of the world will not. His people can take his word for it. How do I know that? Well, there's a few things I do know. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that he shall stand upon this earth. And I know that if I die and the worms eat this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. That's from the Old Testament.
Yep.
They didn't know much back then, Walter. That was Old Testament. You people don't read. These people don't read. And if they do read, their reading comprehension is about third grade level. And then you understand why that shows on TV, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? I know that if I die and the worms eat my body in my flesh, I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself. And not another. Personally. And I know that. And I know that by faith that he gave me. But God has spoken. Somebody's going to die. And the choice is clear. If you got eyes to see, ears that hear, and a heart that understands. If you don't have eyes to see, ears that hear, and a heart that understands, choice ain't quite so clear. You hope God's going to overlook some sin. You hope, like this song says, they hope Christ will see what you can be and then his grace to you impart. That's hooey. That's a lie. You hope, they hope, God will overlook sin. You'll think you'll be okay if you can do the best you can. I've heard that too. Now you'd be wrong if you think these things, and they're wrong when they think these things and say these things. Because God will never, he never has, he's not doing it now, and he never will overlook one sin. Not one. Walter talked about it a while back, that death angel over Egypt passed over the houses of the children of Israel because there was blood already there. There was a death already happened in that house. There was blood there. And he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Yeah. If he didn't see the blood, he didn't pass over. And death happened. And there was blood. And not only that, those people were in there eating that lamb.
Yeah.
Took it into themselves. It became internalized. It became food. Nourishment. And the blood was on the outside. And those people were safe. The lamb, however, was not safe. The lamb died. So the death of a substitute is shown to be acceptable to God. Because it's God's rules. Someone had to die. Something died. God is just. And that works the other way also. God will never require the death of someone who has a substitute. Never. God will never require the death of someone who has an acceptable sacrifice. And that's acceptable to him, not acceptable to you, not acceptable to me. Because he's the offended party. If Christ died for your sins, Christ has reconciled you to God. That's scripture. That's the good news of your salvation, if you know it. Now be ye reconciled to God. You will be. Christ came and saved his people from their sins. He said, it is finished, and he meant it. Christ saved his people. Christ saved his people. Christ saved his people. Christ saved his people. Any way you want to say it, it's true. Put the emphasis anywhere, as long as it starts with Christ, that's where the emphasis is going to be. He did it. And the people who wrote this song don't like that. And the people that are all out there surrounded this area and every area I've ever heard of, at every church, where they preach free will or they preach not so free will. Mostly free will. That's where this starts. But they sing this song because of what they believe. They sing this song because of what they teach. And they sing this song because of what they hear preached. They teach that Christ looks beyond what we have done for a reason. And the reason is this, they do not believe in the particular redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not believe in the L of TULIP, called limited atonement. And you can go to anyone that you'll ever hear, and I've heard a bunch of them, well, they're a four-pointer. Okay? There's 5 points. Total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and perseverance of the saints. Okay? There's 5 of them. When anybody says they're a four-pointer, you don't have to ask which point they leave out. Ever. None of them. That's the one they leave out. Well, Christ's atonement's not limited. It is particular. They think Jesus Christ died for every individual that has ever been born on this planet and ever will be born on this planet. And they teach that Jesus Christ's sacrifice didn't save a soul. That's whereof they are affirming. Because if he did it for everyone, what he did didn't make the difference. What Christ did not save his people. They do not teach that Christ sanctified and redeemed his people by one offering once. They teach that Christ died for everyone. And I've heard that with my own ears many times. And I have heard the explanation for it. And the explanation they give is, and I heard a man say this, Christ died for every sin of every believer except one sin. Now, how many sins does it take to damn you? That's the question. Christ died for every sin except for the sin of unbelief. And you got to come, you got to believe. And then you'll be saved. And I heard a man tell me that. And I talked to him on the phone afterward and I told him that unbelief is a sin. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. He didn't have an answer for me. And the reason he didn't have an answer, because there isn't one. They teach that he gave the measure of faith to all men. That divine spark Arminius was talking about. It's a lie. And it's up to you to exercise your faith and believe in Christ. That's a fable. That's a lie. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Yeah. And with the shedding of blood, what it's talking about here is death. Unbelief is a sin. If Christ did not shed his blood for it, it won't be forgiven. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that Christ saved his people to the uttermost. After I told that fella and I quoted basically Hebrews 9:22 about without the shedding of blood there's no remission, we didn't really have anything to say to each other after that. Because that fella, he knew that scripture was there. He quoted scripture all through his sermons. And to be perfectly honest, that was the best part of his sermons. Was when he was quoting scripture and not trying to explain it or explain it away. But we didn't have enough, we really didn't have anything to talk about after that. And we didn't. He knew it was there. And the only thing I can think of is that, to be honest, he didn't care enough to share that with his congregation. He wouldn't preach it. He wouldn't teach it. And we left that place. And as far as I know, I believe that was the last conversation I had with that man. God does not overlook sin. He sent his only begotten Son to die for sin. The sins of his chosen people. His people were chosen in the Beloved, Christ. Walter's talking about that. Christ died as the substitute for their sins. He took upon him the sins of many. It's everywhere. If you've got eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand, it's everywhere in the Scriptures, Old Testament and New. I remember Earl Cochran preaching Isaiah 53. You can't read Isaiah 53 and not understand. If you understand just the fact that he's talking about Christ, travails of his soul, he's going to be satisfied. And my righteous servant shall justify many. It's there. He died as the substitute for their sins. He took upon himself the sins of many. Now Christ has promised us, in his own words, if you live and believe in me, we'll never die. And I believe him. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Because he took my place. He took the place of every single one of his children, his brethren. And I believe him. I trust him. And I want everybody else to also. I wish they would. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again to be in this place. And Lord, we ask for your blessings as we are here, that you would give us a message from you, from your word, through Walter as he comes and stands here. And we ask for your grace and your mercy because we need it. This day and every day. And we ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.